one way. And quite clearly, we're all applying our minds to the matter. But as a general point of principle, I really would like any staff or members of the administration, executive, who do come to the committee to assist us, to share with us certain pieces of information, that in terms of Africa, and I use the word advisedly, they should come appropriately dressed. And that's going to mean a number of things. In Africa, we don't have the same dress code as, if you want to put it this way, Westminster. You know what I mean? That kind of thing. Nevertheless, we all know when we've met the required dress code. It's almost unwritten. And that doesn't necessarily mean, you know, that, oh, he doesn't have a tie on, etc. That's why I use the context Africa, and not necessarily the United Kingdom, Westminster, etc. All right, so can we leave it there? Right. And I'm not referring to members of my committee at all. All right? You can relax. The fly on the wall, Honourable Hill Lewis, are making a principled point. I'd like us now to ask, Mr. Hermans, I think you, are you able to be close at hand, as it were? Yeah. I did request Advocate van der Merwe to come to the committee to explain the processes available to us, so that before we take any decisions, we share with our own respective political caucuses these issues and then come back. So we're merely expanding this to get information. She's not here this week, so she asked someone in the office with whom she works, Advocate Prince, Michael Prince, to be here with us today. He said, how much should I give? I said, no, well, look, give us what you can. And it may be that members of the committee say, we'd like to have the presentation. That's up to you. You understand? So shall we leave it there for the moment, Mr. Hermans? So go ahead, Advocate Prince.
Thank you, Chair. Good afternoon. Good afternoon, members. The Chair is asking to take the committee through the committee bill process, how it unfolds here in Parliament. If this committee ultimately decides to take a decision to go ahead with a committee bill, the first thing that it would have to do is to develop a memorandum setting out certain things, and those things are the object of the proposed bill, are there any financial implications, and any discussions that would come with the would come from meetings with the executive to say what are their view on the committee bill. That memorandum, the purpose of that memorandum is to ask the Assembly for permission to go ahead with the committee bill. So the Assembly will then either give the permission with or without consent, with or without conditions to attach to it, refuse permission, or refer the matter back to the committee for further consideration. So in the eventuality that the Assembly grants permission, the committee will then go ahead and draft a bill, or prepare a bill, and that's where our office will come in to assist the committee. The committee will also consult the JTM for advice on the classification of such a bill. Notice of the intention to introduce the bill will be given in the Government Gazette, together with a copy of the proposed bill, or an explanatory memorandum, or summary of the bill. The committee will also give an invitation to interested persons and institutions to submit written representations on the bill. There are time frames given here for how long that that invitation period can be, the submission period can be. I won't go into that at this moment in time. The committee will then report to the House when it publishes the draft bill. Any written information or comments received by the committee must be considered. And we have judgments of the Constitutional Court telling us what does that mean, what is meaningful opportunities for public participation, and that needs to be taken into account at that stage by the committee in considering the public inputs. The committee will then either decide to make further amendments to the draft bill based on the inputs received, and then the committee will attempt to prepare a final draft bill that will then again be sent to the JTM for advice and the classification. And this will be in the form of a bill that the committee seeks to introduce. At that stage, the bill will be sent to legal services at Parliament for certification, and there we look at the constitutionality of the bill and whether the bill meets with the drafting standards for bills here at Parliament. The committee will introduce that bill by submitting a copy thereof and supporting memorandum to the Speaker, together with the findings of the JTM at that time. That will be submitted to the Speaker with the request to introduce that final bill by the committee. A committee bill does not have a first reading. Instead, it is placed on the order paper for a second reading. And at that second reading, the substance of the bill will be debated, and a decision in the House will take a decision on the bill. Once the House has taken a decision on the bill will then be referred to the NCOP, and the NCOP processes will proceed from the Chair. In a nutshell, that is the committee process, a committee bill process here at Parliament. Thank you.
Now, I do know that you have quite a lengthy, if I can put it that, PowerPoint, probably like 40 pages or 30 slides. And before the committee comes in, let me ask Mr. Hermans, who worked with you in consulting on this process. I believe you've distributed something, have you? Now, members, has everyone got what Mr. Hermans drafted for us, bills initiated by assembly committees? Has everyone got that? Right. Mr. Hermans, would you like to speak to this, please, from where you're sitting? Thank you, Advocate Prince.
Chairperson, the document that I've distributed is exactly reflects what the advocate has said. With respect to the memorandum that must be prepared, it is a memorandum that the committee must agree to before it goes to the House. So it's a process that must be unpacked and understood within the committee before it goes to the House. The committee needs to adopt that memorandum before we proceed. Based on that decision, the other processes will automatically fall into place. But it's important that the committee look at the memorandum, agrees to the principles that is captured in there, and make a decision on that. Based on that decision, it will go to the House. And then the processes, as outlined by the advocate, will automatically follow.
Thank you. Are there any any questions before we consider where we are, what we are doing? Would you like, can I put it, the full suite of slides issued to you? Yeah, right. So if that's in order, then, Advocate Prince, if you would make that available to the committee secretary, who, well, may have it, who would then make it available to members of the committee. Because to me, this is something you would want to have with you while you consult within your own parties, who would ask you certain questions on the mechanics of the issue. So, as I see it, there doesn't appear to be any question on the mechanics, and I'm using that word deliberately, the technical aspects. So we now come back to the position, broadly speaking, and that is, I'm asking the committee whether they would like time now to digest where we are at the moment and for us to pursue it at another meeting. Honourable Macpherson?
Chair, I don't mean to be rude, but you're being fairly vague. at the moment. Pursue what exactly?
Well, what was put on the table last week by a member of the committee, the Honourable Williams, who unfortunately is not here today. He's ill. It would have been preferable if he was here, and I understand he will be here Friday, is that the committee pursue a committee bill dealing with debt forgiveness, and he put his position, wait a minute, that was what he asked us to look at. It's not what was agreed, but I'm saying that is what was asked. And you weren't here, as you indicated. Yes, Honourable Maxson.
Sorry, in 30 minutes, we've gone from agreeing to pursue avenues or have a look to now agreeing to a committee bill, to pursuing a committee bill. That's exactly what you've said.
I told you what had been raised by a member of the committee who's not here to speak for himself. I did have a problem with that, which is why it's. I would prefer it if he was here to address the matter. Do you understand? He's not here today, and he's actually medically unfit. So I understand that he's expecting to be well enough by Thursday to be here. So in the absence of people who put things on, in the same way when you may have put something, we do try to await within a reasonable period of time for the return of that particular proponent, all right? So where I want to leave things now is you will be given information. Do with it what you like. I will put the matter on the agenda on Friday again. And that's where we want to leave it. Honourable MacPherson?
Chair, I really want to encourage you and the committee to, you know, to actually deal with this, you know, this issue, exploring whether we want to do so in a very in a really robust and thorough manner. And you know, there's a lot of answers that are outstanding from the DDG. There are, I think, a number of engagements that we need to have with stakeholders to inform that opinion. Do we think it is a priority of this committee to proceed on this basis? When one looks at all the other legislation and other issues that that face us, so I would actually suggest that we need to have further engagements with the department. We need to have engagements with the stakeholders, because that surely has to be the basis that informs the decision whether to embark on a road of formulating legislation. It's not just what we feel or what we think, but it is actually backed up by facts. And that is what I would really encourage us to look at before we just sort of start, you know, jumping to, you know, to this need to formulate a committee bill.
I think you've probably expressed the views of most members of the committee. Honourable Mantash?
Chairperson, I would support what he is saying, because the department has gone that way itself. It has consulted with stakeholders, and I think that's what we need to do, to consult the captains of this industry, like your dead councillors and stuff. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Look, we've heard from the ANC, we've heard from the DA. Do you want to make any comments, Honourable Alberts? No. Right. So we stand by the position that we will be distributing the information we already have. All right. We will put it on again at the end of the week, just so that it's kept there in the same way that we've had to keep other ideas on the table. You will recall the NC National Regulator for Compulsory Specifications was on there interminably, you know, just on and on. Why? Because there are issues there. So let us leave the matter there, but I must thank the National Credit Regulator, because I only approached them late Thursday, early Friday morning to, you know, ask whether they could come here and feel something, and we do appreciate your prompt response. But there are some outstanding issues which you have heard about. And perhaps from our side, it will be much more helpful when the Honourable Williams is here to pursue the issues. Can we leave it there then, DDG? And please come back in writing with whatever you do have with you. Are we all agreed? So, Advocate Prince, we can chat about anything that you're not sure of in my office after the meeting, but I think Mr. Hermans knows I did brief him as to what we should be doing. Is that all right, Mr. Hermans? Thank you. All right, members, thank you very much for that. And now we can move. You may be, excuse, DDG, your whole team, and thank you for bringing the team. We're now moving on to the consideration of minutes. Just a minute.